We're going to read Luke chapter 2. We're going to read verses 15 through 20, a passage that kind of follows on the heels of the angelic messengers coming in their glorious way. We spend a lot of time in the Christmas story looking at the previous passage where the angels come. We don't spend a lot of time looking at the response of the shepherds, how the shepherds react to this sight and react to what they hear. So we're going to spend just a few minutes meditating or revisiting this part of the Christmas story and looking at how these shepherds celebrated Christmas. So follow along in your Bibles as I read verses 15 through 20 of Luke chapter 2. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the message that has been told to the shepherds and the message that they told to those around them. And Father, I pray that we would live to tell that message of Jesus Christ concerning this child that was born, and concerning his life, death, burial, and resurrection, ascension, and future coming. In his name we pray. Amen. Let me ask you this. How do you celebrate Christmas? What are some things that you do? Just thinking through those things. What are some traditions that you have? Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's a particular ritual that you go through that helps you celebrate, helps you enjoy the holidays. Would you say that in those activities, you keep Christmas well? What goes through your mind during Christmas time? Is it joyful expectation? Is it peace and serenity? Maybe those things you experience. Maybe you have nostalgic memories of childhood. Things that just sort of come with the territory of Christmas. And as the season rolls on, you experience those things. What if it's not as pleasant as you hoped it would be? Maybe there aren't as nostalgic a memory or not as pleasant a memory, but maybe there are some painful memories that seem to come back and roll back into town when Christmas season rolls in. Maybe you experience dread from all the busyness, mentally ticking off one event after another. I laugh because that's what I seem to experience. We have things in our lives that affect how we celebrate the birth of our Savior. There are some good things in our lives that help us celebrate, but there are also some things in our life that help us or that hinder us or keep us from celebrating Christmas. How do you keep Christmas? And would you say that you keep Christmas well? Well, when I think of some of the things that are going on in my mind, in my head, I have to admit that I don't often keep Christmas well. At the beginning of Charles Dickens' book, A Christmas Carol, Ebenezer Scrooge is having a rather heated discussion with his nephew Fred about the merits of Christmas and Christmas time. And Scrooge says this, "What's Christmas time to you but a time for paying bills without money? A time for finding yourself a year older but not an hour richer? A time for balancing your books and having every item in them thoroughly through a round dozen of months representing presented dead against you? If I could work my will," Scrooge said indignantly, "every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled in his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart, he should." "Uncle," pleaded the nephew, Nephew, returned the uncle sternly, keep Christmas in your own way and let me keep it in mine. Keep it, repeated Scrooge's nephew, but you don't keep it. Let me leave it alone then, said Scrooge. How do we celebrate Christmas? Do you keep Christmas or do you leave it alone? See, our story this morning is about a group of shepherds who kept the very first Christmas, and they kept it well. They provided an example for each of us to follow in our own struggle to keep Christmas well. No matter what our attitudes toward Christmas are, I think we can learn a lot from these shepherds as they sit out there on the Judean hillside, not knowing that Christmas time had actually arrived and experiencing a revelation from God that completely changed their direction in life. This morning, I'd like to look at a few things that these shepherds can teach us about keeping Christmas, about celebrating Christmas, and what we can do to celebrate Christmas or keep it well. The first thing I think that we can learn from these shepherds is that we should look for the real gift of Christmas. Look for the real gift of Christmas. See, all this is very simple. And yet it's oftentimes clouded by all the busyness and the attitudes that we have and the stuff we have to do. We don't realize how simple this really is. But the shepherds teach us to look for the real gift of Christmas. They weren't looking for anything as they were tending their flocks. But they began with a revelation that would cause them to look for the real gift. And of course, you know that the real gift of Christmas is not an object under a tree. It was a person in a manger. Look for the real gift. We find in verse 15, when the angels are leaving, it says when the angels went away from them into heaven. Interestingly, that section that says when the angels went away, it's exactly the same phraseology that is used by Luke in Acts chapter 1 of Jesus going away up into heaven. He didn't simply disappear. He raised up into heaven and went away. The angels standing behind those disciples in Acts chapter 1 say that's how Jesus is going to return. Well, these angels, we find them going away into heaven. Well, when they leave, the shepherds immediately decide that they're going to go and see this thing that has happened. And they say in their own words, which the Lord has made known to us. Notice they didn't say which the angels have made known to us. It says which the Lord has made known to us. They know that this angelic message is not primarily a message from these created heavenly beings. It's a message from God Himself. And the Lord has made known this thing to them, and they want to go see it. And they are fully aware that this is a revelation from God, and God has done this thing. Remember back in verse 11, as we read in our responsive reading, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The Lord has made known this to us, and Christ is the Lord. Christ Himself, the one who is born in a manger, has facilitated this revelation. And we're going to complete that circle by going to see this thing. God is revealing Himself here. And He's giving Himself. See, the best gift in Christmas isn't the one that you give, even though we would like to think that's the case. The best gift is the one that God gave. And that's Jesus Christ, Himself, our Savior. Well, they go quickly and find the baby with Mary and Joseph, just as the angel had said. And of course, going back to verse 11, the angel expresses the unique identity of this gift that God has given. There are five identifying marks that this angel declares. Five five things that would show them what this real gift is. He was born that day. There is a unique day in history in which God is born. He was born in the city of David. He was born in a unique place. He is a Savior. He has a unique role. He is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the one whom the Israelites were looking for. He has a unique position. Of course, identifying mark number five, He is the Lord. He has unique authority. If He is the Lord, then He has authority over everything and everyone. And these marks of identity, they mark for the shepherds and indeed for all the world, not what this gift is, but who this gift is. Look for the real gift at Christmas. Well, how do they know where to find Him? Well, they were told to look for a sign. It wasn't just any old baby in Bethlehem. There was a unique sign that they were to look for. And He simply told them that sign. The sign is, you will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Now, the angel didn't tell them to go to Bethlehem. He simply told them what to look for with the idea that they would make the connection and realize through this hint that they should go and look for this sign. With the expectation that this event, so glorious that they had seen, this appearing of the glory of the Lord shining around them, would be enough to get them moving. Have you ever seen the aurora borealis, the northern lights, if you've gone to some of the northern states? When I was a kid, living on a farm in Wisconsin, my parents woke us up about 2 or 3 in the morning to show us the northern lights. Apparently they had seen the northern lights out in the dark, dark horizon of that Wisconsin farm, and it was brilliant. And they didn't just go back to bed. They had to get the whole family up, so we threw our coats on and we ran outside to see these northern lights. Now, if those northern lights had spoken to us audibly, we probably would have done something. But it was brilliant, it was glorious, it was beautiful. And seeing something so spectacular, you don't just go back to bed. It prompts you to action, and it prompted these shepherds to action. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Have you ever wondered why we wrap our gifts? Because this baby, this gift was wrapped in swaddling cloths. Well, let's look at that. He was wrapped in simplicity, wasn't he? Wrapped in simplicity. There was no elaborate system of rules and regulations, no ornate rituals, no red tape, no bureaucracy, no permits, no applications, no credit checks, just a simple sign. A baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Very simple. Not something you'd expect from a king. But that's where it was. He was wrapped in simplicity, but He was also wrapped in humility, right? The Savior of the world is not born in a palace. He'd be born in a stable. You know, when we see the church going in the direction of affluence and fat catism, it's a pretty good sign that we're going in the wrong direction. But when we see the church wrapped in humility, that's a good sign that we seem to be in the place we should be. That the God of this universe would wrap Himself in humility. It's John 1:14, and the Word became flesh. God took on flesh. He put skin on as a sign of His own humility. Is the church walking around in humility? Are we wrapping ourselves in humbleness? Well, Jesus also wrapped himself in humanity, didn't he? God is a spirit and has not a body like men. And yet God wrapped himself in human flesh. This is the sign. Wrapped himself in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. He would be born wearing what every other baby was wearing back then. Swaddling cloths. For thousands of years, mothers have been swaddling their babies. It's the practice of wrapping your baby snugly to restrict its movement. In the 20th century, that practice went out of favor. But, interestingly, it's made a comeback. Made a comeback before our kids were born, because our pediatrician told us, or told Ruth Ann, to wrap the baby snugly. In 2011, an article in England's The Daily Mail had this headline: "Back in fashion, demand for swaddling clothes up 61% as mothers return to old-fashioned practice." Here's what the article states. It says this: "For years, it was thought wrapping a baby tightly in cloth would stop its self-expression and hinder it from learning how to control its movements. But now, the practice, as old as the Nativity, has come back into fashion for the first time in over 50 years, new figures have revealed." The article goes on to say that if you wrap your newborn baby snugly, not tightly, but snugly, in a swaddling blanket, it has three primary beneficial effects. First of all, it helps the baby remain on its back while sleeping, and then cuts down the risk of crib death. Second, it allows the baby to sleep more deeply, and it's thought to mimic the feeling of being in the womb, making the baby more comfortable. And third, it facilitates the feeling of security. So this God was wrapped in a security blanket. How much more Linus can you get? And yet that's what happened. It's very human. Look for the real gift. You know who he is. You've been taught who he is. You know the marks. You know his identifying marks, but you also know the signs. Now we know that Jesus is no longer in a manger. We also know that Jesus is no longer on a cross. But Jesus is in heaven making intercession for us. And through his Spirit, he lives in the hearts of those who have faith and trust in him. And we know this. Well, look for the real gift of Christmas, but share the good news of Christmas as well. Share the good news of Christmas. The gospel came to Bethlehem and the shepherds heard it and they saw it. But look what these shepherds do. These shepherds share the good news. Not just what they had seen, but look with me at verse 17. "And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child." They didn't simply share what they saw. They shared what they had been told. They share the good news. And of course, the angel up there in the previous verses already declares that this is the good news. This was good news for them. It was news that was meant, first of all, to dispel their own fear, their being sore afraid at this sight of this angel as the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And the good news was meant to dispel that fear. But this good news is also meant to bring into light those who are walking in darkness. You remember that famous prophecy from Isaiah? "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shone." This is the good news that the shepherds are sharing. And when they see this sublime sight, they cannot keep it quiet. Are you able to keep it quiet? couple of weeks ago, our kids spent the evening at a friend's house while Ruth Ann and I went to a concert in Philadelphia. And all day long, our kids were telling the good news of them going to their friend's house, to their friends, to their teachers. So that by the end of the day, all the teachers and all the students and administrators, everyone in that school knew my kids were going to their friend's house. They couldn't keep it quiet. Are you like me, though? Sometimes I forget that I have good news to share. And I am really good at keeping it quiet. How about you? God has given us the gift of His Son. He has pointed His Son out in our lives. And He has given us the promise that we are going to go to His house. We're not going to spend just a night. We're going to spend eternity. Is that news that is good enough to share? See, I have to remind myself of this. And see, our kids have a lot to teach us. Because they let it out. And they tell you. And they're not afraid. And these shepherds were not afraid to share the good news of Christmas. Well, in verses 18 and 19... We see that some will wonder about this. Some will be confused, just like Paul in Acts chapter 17 on Mars Hill. Some questioned, some said, you're out of your mind, Paul. And some said, well, we want to hear a little bit more about this. But a few believed. And some who heard this wondered at this saying. And some we'll ponder it, right? Verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. She tucked it away. And many people believe that she was the primary source for Luke. And as he shared or wrote down through the influence and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote down the words of this gospel, getting a lot of his technical information from Mary, who had stored these things away in the file cabinet of her heart. Some will wonder and some will ponder, but others will glorify God in all of this, right? Verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told us. And that brings us to number 3. Shepherds teach us to worship the God of Christmas. Worship the God of Christmas. See, there's a lot of false gods of Christmas, isn't there? A lot of little idols that we worship at Christmas time. Maybe it's a tradition that we worship. And if we don't have that one tradition in place, Christmas is ruined for us. Maybe it's the worship of a memory or a particular song that we worship. Or a gift. Maybe it's a feeling that we worship. Well, these shepherds worshiped the God of Christmas. And there is only one God of Christmas. And these shepherds met Him and it changed them. And it led them to break out in worship to the one true God. And as we see again in verse 20, that they returned glorifying and praising God. Notice they follow the angels' example, right? Verses 13 and 14, where the angels became a multitude. And they praised God, saying, glory to God in the highest. And then the shepherds, they reflect that. And they glorified and praised God for all they had heard and seen. Well, the angels go back home. The shepherds go back to work. But they don't go back to work business as usual. They return glorifying and praising God. They go back changed. And we can do that. We can go back changed. We can go back to work. We can go back home. We can go back to our social life changed, glorifying God, praising God. How do we do that? Well, we receive the real gift of Christmas. Have you received the gift? Is Jesus in your heart? Have you received Him? Have you believed Him? If you've received that true gift, then share the good news of Christmas. Tell somebody what God has done for you. But then you can worship the Christ of Christmas, can't you? And all these things help us to glorify and praise this God. And if we can do that, then we are really celebrating Christmas. We're really keeping Christmas well. Well, let me ask you to think of just a couple more things. Just to think about this. First of all, look for signs of God's gift at Christmas. Look for the signs of God's gift, whether it's in the wrapping, whether it's in the feeling, whether it's in the tradition. What things about Christmas tell us about God's gift? What has God given you this year? Has God given you His Son for the very first time? Has God given you a renewed sense of His purpose throughout this year and presence? What else has He given you? Now, here's a hint. You probably won't find it in colorful paper and bows. But you'll probably find it wrapped in simplicity and humility and indeed in our own humanity. And you may be surprised by what you find. Look for signs of God's gift, but let the good news interrupt your Christmas celebration. Sometimes we are so regimented with our Christmas celebrations. Okay, now it's time for this, now it's time for this, now it's time for this. But yet the shepherds were interrupted. I don't know what they were doing while they were keeping watch over their flock by night. Maybe if they had had a tablet, they would have been looking at Netflix. Maybe they would have been reading the Old Testament app on their stone tablet. But what we can do is let the good news interrupt our Christmas celebration, because that's really what it is about. And lastly, remember that Christmas is about worshiping the Christ, worshiping Christ the Lord, worshiping Christ the Lord. There are a few ways that we can worship. Again, we can sing, we can serve, we can share. That Christmas is about these things. We can read the Christmas story. We can sing a Christmas carol. We can recite John 3:16. We can recite Psalm 100. We can take our Advent readings and read those with our family, with our friends. All of these can be done to look for signs of God at Christmas that can interrupt our own Christmas celebrations and can certainly allow us to worship Christ the Lord at Christmas. Well, thankfully, the story of Ebenezer Scrooge did not end with him leaving Christmas alone. In fact, Scrooge himself was not left alone. In the end, he was changed, and his opinion of Christmas was also changed. And he can't help but share it. Listen to how he's described at the end of the book. And it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well, if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that be said of us this Christmas. Let's pray together. Father, teach us to keep Christmas well. Christmas is just one part of the gospel story. But if we package this Christmas story with the gospel, if the gospel is infused in that, then Lord, we can truly celebrate the God of Christmas, the Christ of Christmas. We can truly learn from what these shepherds experienced on this hillside and indeed in a stable in Bethlehem. Father, with so many things going on, I pray that you would just teach us to be quiet. And knowing that we have the revelation now, to meditate on that revelation and to wait in eager expectation of new truth from your word that may not have comprehended before, but certainly in eager expectation of Christ's second coming as well. Father, let us love you in Jesus' name. Amen.